And we would ask your continued prayers for us, as we know you do. It's been a real struggle for me to study like I would like to. So just be in prayer concerning that. In the book of Hebrews tonight, I'd like to turn to chapter 11, chapter 12, and chapter 13. I'm going to read verse or two from each of these chapters. In Hebrews 11, we like to read verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 12, I like to read verse 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 13, we'd like to read two verses, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13, verse 21. This is a prayer. Make you perfect or more mature in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Each of these verses speak of pleasing God. Hebrews 12, 28 talks about that which is acceptable to God, which is the same thing as pleasing the Lord. So each of these verses speak of giving God pleasure, of pleasing the Lord. To please somebody is to bring them delight. To please God is to delight God, to bring delight to the Lord, to bring enjoyment to the Lord. Talks about bringing gratification. So when we please God, we bring pleasure to God, we bring delight to God, we bring gratification to God. When you think about it, it's an amazing thing that you and I would have the privilege to please the Lord, that we would even have the opportunity to bring pleasure and delight and enjoyment to God. Now, the verses that we read only apply to the saved. Unsaved individual can do nothing that would please God, because God is only pleased in Jesus Christ, in and through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, 21, one of the verses we read for our text, makes that clear, that it is through Jesus Christ that God is well pleased. We read in Romans 8 and verse 8 that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not possible for them to please God. Following the baptism of Jesus Christ, a voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then over in Matthew 17, following the transfiguration of Christ, we again hear that voice and again says the same thing. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So twice, an audible voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In whom I am well pleased. God did not say with whom, though that was true. But that's not what he said. He said more than that. He didn't merely say with whom, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." But he said, in whom I am well pleased. And again, he was not just pleased. He was well pleased. That means he was fully pleased. That means he was quite pleased. And again, this was in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 29, he said, I do always those things that please him. Only Jesus can say that. That is only true of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never did anything but what was pleasing to God. And God is pleased in Jesus Christ. And the only way you and I can be pleasing, of course, is in Christ. So when we talk about pleasing God, and that's our subject this evening, we're talking to the saved. If you're here and lost, you can't please God. There's nothing you can do tonight that will please the Lord, because God is only pleased in Christ, and you are without Christ. So we're speaking to the saved. First of all, there is a God to please. And this is something that the world certainly doesn't realize. Sad to say, it's something that it appears that many of God's people don't realize. That there is a God to please. God can be pleased. Every one of these verses that we've read tonight for our text declares that God can be pleased. Now, that God can be pleased by man, that's an amazing thing. That is truly astounding. That you and I, as saved individuals, can please God. Yet it is stated all through the Scriptures that we can do that which is pleasing to the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, we read there that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Contrary to what most believe, not everything is acceptable to God. There are many things that are quite unacceptable to God. But there are some things acceptable to God, or there are some things that are pleasing, that bring God pleasure. And one of them is when we present our bodies, a holy sacrifice unto God. This is acceptable unto God. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, again, all of these verses declare the fact that God can be pleased. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 and verse 10, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving, that is, the Spirit proves and also the fruit of the Spirit proves what is acceptable unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit proves. And another word for prove, of course, is manifest. The Holy Spirit manifests to you and I that are saved what is acceptable unto God. And by so doing, he also manifests that which is unacceptable to God. In order to know what's unacceptable to God, you take what's acceptable, and whatever's opposite of that is unacceptable. It's not difficult. We see in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 18, Paul referred to the offering which the church at Philippi sent to him, and he said that it was acceptable and well-pleasing to God. So we can give an offering that is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. It's not the amount that makes it acceptable or well-pleasing. We see in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, Colossians 1 and verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Unto all pleasing. Now that goes along with that which is well-pleasing. We see in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That is, this is quite pleasing unto God. This is fully pleasing unto God. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so that ye would abound more and more. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3 speaks of that which is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Now, if there is that which is good in the sight of God, there is that which is not good. If there is that which is acceptable in the sight of God, there is also that which is unacceptable in the sight of God. We also read in 1 Peter chapter 2, if we turn there. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, and also verse 20. Verse 5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's the only way they can be accepted. They're not accepted through us. They are accepted by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. Then notice in 1 Peter 2 and verse 20, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And then in 1 John 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So what all this means, God is not a God of indifference. God can be pleased. God can be displeased. All of these people today who say, well, God doesn't care. I assure you, God cares. Or it doesn't matter to God, this particular point. I assure you, it does. Everything matters to God. The most minute things that you and I think are so insignificant matters to God. He is not a God of indifference. He is a God that can be pleased. And that ought to thrill our souls, that you and I can please him. So God can be pleased. And God, in his grace, has provided a way that you and I can please him. If God had not provided a way, you and I could never, ever please God. But he has provided a way in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only can God be pleased, God has provided a way whereby you and I can please him. And that speaks, of course, of a wonderful opportunity. It is strictly due to the goodness and the grace of God that you and I can please him. God is infinitely holy. God cannot accept that which is unholy. Therefore, he has provided a way where unholy men can please God. He looks at Jesus Christ, and he's pleased. You and I will come up short every single time. But God has provided a way. The God who is perfectly pure, God is not pleased with impurity. Now, I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. So I realize that God allows impurity. I realize that God uses impurity. But God is not pleased. God does not accept impurity. He can only accept that which is holy and pure. So you have a holy, a pure, a sinless and righteous God. And that God can be pleased by sinful man, all because God has provided a way that sinful man can please him. That's amazing. That's wonderful. That you and I can please God. That the sovereign monarch of heaven and earth, who is above all, who is supreme over all, who excels all, can be pleased by a man who is made of dust is amazing. But God has provided a way that you and I can please the Lord. The psalmist asked in Psalm 8 and verse 4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" God is not only mindful of man, but God has provided a way in which puny, insignificant man can actually bring pleasure to God, can actually please the Lord. Now, the fact that God can be pleased, the fact that man can please God, again, without reiterating this over and over, we can only please God through Christ. But the fact that man can please God means that there are things that bring God pleasure. There are things that you and I do that delights God through Christ, that gives God enjoyment. The very God who foreknew us, the God who chose us all before the foundation of the world, chose to save our souls, can be pleased by us. The God who ordained, the God who appointed us to salvation, can be pleased by us. The God who predestinated us to glory can be pleased by us. The God who loved us so much that he gave his only son can be pleased by us. The one who came to us in our bondage, the one who came to us in our misery, the one who came to us while we were guilty and vile and set us free, he can be pleased. And God has provided a way that you and I can please him. The God who so gloriously saved our souls and set us free can be pleased. Now that ought to interest us. If you and I realize that we have been foreknown, chosen, predestinated, called, and saved all by the grace of God, and we find out that the one who did it all, we can please him, that ought to get our attention. We ought to be interested in pleasing that one. That ought to be our whole goal in life. You mean I can please him? You mean there is something that I can do that would please him? What is it? I'll do it. It ought to get our immediate attention. I will never understand, nor will I even try to understand, how people can let dress or separation issues, how they can think that those things are big deals. Amen. I'll never understand that. I mean, if it pleases God for me to wear plaids and checks together, I'll do it. It doesn't matter. If it pleases God, that's all that should matter. That's all we need to know. This will please God. That should be the end of it. But many times, of course, we know that's not the case. But the fact that God can be pleased ought to be of great interest to us. God can be pleased. He can be pleased by us. Again, I realize it's through Christ. But since God can be pleased, and since God can be pleased by us, it seems to me that that ought to be our whole aim in life. Please Him. Please Him. That should be our whole aim. That should be what we live for. God can be pleased. Therefore, we ought to seek to please the Lord. Since God can be pleased, that ought to be our object. That ought to be our object. That ought to be our goal in our life. That ought to be the thing that we want to reach. We want to reach that point where we are pleasing to God, where we are living lives that are pleasing to God. If God can be pleased, then it ought to be my aspiration, since I have been saved by His grace, it ought to be my aspiration to please Him. I'll never understand why, how a child of God would not want to please the one who saved their souls. The very fact that God can be pleased ought to fill us with great joy. It ought to fill us with joy for such an opportunity. Every day, I have an opportunity to please God. That's been true ever since the day the Lord saved my soul. I have had opportunity upon opportunity to please the Lord. But not only is it an opportunity, it's an obligation. I have an obligation to please the one who saved my soul. I have an obligation to please the one who does everything for me, who gives me everything that I have. I have an obligation to please Him. I am indebted to God to please Him. And I ought to want to please Him. It's not something that, well, I got to do it. We want to do it. We want to please Him. Nothing ought to give us greater pleasure than to know that we please God, that God is pleased. The very fact that God can be pleased ought to give us a sense of purpose. It gives us purpose in our life. Perhaps you've given up hope and everything else, but you, as a child of God, you have a purpose. And that purpose is, I can please God. And I want to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. The fact that God can be pleased ought to drive us. It ought to drive us every single day that I can please the Lord. But on top of all of that, the fact that God can be pleased ought to also frighten us, because that also means that He can be displeased. That ought to concern us. I can please God, but I can also displease the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about the sore displeasure of the Lord. The Bible talks about the hot displeasure of the Lord. Contrary to popular belief among the religious crowd today, God does not accept everything. God is a God who has sore displeasure and hot displeasure. That ought to frighten us, that we can be displeasing to the Lord. Notice in Numbers chapter 11, in verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. When they complained, it displeased the Lord. I believe it still does. I believe when you and I complain, it displeases God. Because when we complain, we have lost sight of the goodness of God. God is displeased. It grieves God. Notice in 2 Samuel 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11, and verse 27. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. And I want to say that David was happy at this moment. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And David paid for it for the rest of his life. So God's a God of forgiveness. Yes, he is. But sin leaves scars. And David paid for the rest of his life. The thing that he had done had displeased the Lord. I think of Peter. Denied the Lord three times. And you remember, after he denied the Lord the third time, the Lord looked upon Peter. And Peter was grieved. And the reason Peter was grieved is because at that moment he knew that he had displeased the Lord. There isn't anything that ought to grieve us more than that we would bring displeasure to the one who saved our soul. So, it is a wonderful thing that God can be pleased, but it's also fearful because of the other side of that, and that is God can be displeased. If God can be well pleased, and the verses we've read have stated that fact, that he can be well pleased, then that same God can also be much displeased. And that's what ought to greatly concern us. If there are things that are a pleasure to the Lord, then there are things that are a displeasure to God. If there are things that are acceptable to God, then there are things that are unacceptable to God. Revelation 2 and 3, we read of Christ telling six of the seven churches, I have somewhat against thee. That's just another way of saying, you've done something that displeases me. There is something in your midst that causes me displeasure. That ought to always concern us. That there be those things in our lives, that there be those areas in our lives that bring displeasure to God. Our whole aim ought to be, I want to please the Lord. Again, I don't understand, nor am I going to try to or make any attempt to, why children of God want to please the world at all cost. The world has not done a thing for you. God has done everything. And the world is in direct opposition and direct enmity to God. We should not be concerned about pleasing the world. But we ought to always be concerned about pleasing God. That should be first, and that should be foremost. Pleasing God is a duty that includes every aspect of our lives. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, we already read this verse, but it says, how ye ought to walk and to please God. And in Colossians 1, in verse 10, we read, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Both of those verses speak of walking in a way that pleases God. Now, our walk is emblematic of our whole life. It speaks of our habits. It speaks of our ways. It speaks of our routines. It speaks of our conduct. It speaks of our character. And all of that is to be pleasing to God. All of our habits are to be pleasing to God. All of our ways, all of our routine, all of our conduct, who we are, should please the Lord. And that should be our great concern. But we also see that pleasing God is beneficial to us. Now, that is not the reason that we ought to want to please God. The truth is, we ought to want to please God whether it benefits us or not, we ought to want to please Him. Simply because of who He is and what He's done. But God is so good that He has provided a way for you and I to please Him. He enables us to please Him. And then He blesses us for what He enabled us and allowed us to do. That's goodness. That's grace. And we see that pleasing God is going to benefit us. Notice again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Or let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 first. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and verse 11. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. When you do that which is pleasing to God, you will be fruitful, and you will increase in the knowledge of God, and you will be strengthened with might. You will grow stronger and stronger. You will be benefited spiritually if you do that which is pleasing to the Lord. Now notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. The way to abound more and more is to please God. You simply do that which you know is going to please God. You don't have to know the whole picture. All you have to know, all you have to do is do right now what you know will please God. And God will bless. And you will abound more and more spiritually. In closing, let's consider some things that are necessary to pleasing God. Faith is necessary. We read that in Hebrews 11, in verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He does not say, without faith, it's highly unlikely to please God. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, it cannot be done. Without saving faith, you cannot please God. Because everything you do, all your so-called righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. You have nothing to please God. You can do nothing to please God. Without faith, it's impossible. And we don't have time, but you read Hebrews 11, verse 6. He describes that faith. He describes the kind of faith that is necessary to please the Lord. It is a faith that approaches God, for he that cometh to God. It is a faith that has full assurance of who God is, must believe that he is. And it is a faith that diligently causes one to seek the Lord. And so that's the kind of faith that is necessary to pleasing the Lord. So if we want to please God, we have to ask the Lord to give us faith. We have to pray with the apostles, Lord, increase our faith. But something else that is necessary to pleasing God, in Hebrews chapter 12, one of the verses that we read for our text, in Hebrews 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Again, he says, wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby, that is, by grace, we may serve God acceptably. That is, in a pleasing manner. And what is acceptable to God is that service which is with reverence and godly fear. So we need grace to please God. So we need to pray that God would give us grace, that we might be able to serve Him acceptably. Now, the fact that we can serve God acceptably tells me that there are many who, in the name of service, but do that which is unacceptable to God. So we have to be careful that everything we do in the service of God is acceptable. Another thing that is needed is there has to be agreement with God's will. Notice in Hebrews 13, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. In order to please God, you have to do His will. You will never please God by going against His will. To please God, you have to be in agreement with God. Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You cannot please God walking contrary to God. And you cannot walk with God unless you are in agreement with God. And it's obvious today from the lives that many live, talking about God's people, they are in disagreement with God. It's not just that they have a disagreement with Home Baptist Church. Home Baptist Church might be wrong, but they are in disagreement with God. And God cannot possibly be wrong. So there has to be an agreement with God's will. If you and I are going to please God, we cannot spend our day arguing with God and fighting with God and resisting God. We have to agree to His will. We have to submit to His will, and that pleases Him. Amen. Anything else is displeasing to God. It displeases God when you and I linger and do not do the will of God because we're, for whatever reason, there's so many reasons that we give. It's all displeasing to God. God just simply says, agree with what I say and submit. And that pleases the Lord. There also has to be an inward working of God if we're going to be pleasing. Notice again, Hebrews 13, 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. We already read in Ephesians chapter 5 that the Spirit of God proves what is good and acceptable to God. Now that Spirit of God dwells within you and I that are saved. And wherever the Spirit of God dwells, He does not dwell dormant. He's doing something. He's working. And what He's working is He's working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, notice Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will, that is to make you willing, and to do of His good pleasure. There has to be an inward working of the Spirit of God if you and I are ever going to be pleasing to the Lord. And I believe that the Spirit of God dwells within every child of God. And therefore, I believe that every child of God has a desire to please the Lord. Every child of God. Every child of God has a desire to please God. Every child of God has a desire to bring delight and pleasure to God. He has a desire to be close to the Lord. And the reason is because the Spirit of God works in them that which is well-pleasing. Don't ever attribute the Spirit of God for working in you that which is displeasing to God. That's not the Spirit of God. The The Spirit of God only works that which is well-pleasing to the Lord. So we need a working, an inward working of the Spirit of God. So God can be pleased. You and I that are saved, we have the privilege. We have the opportunity. We have the obligation to please Him. That's true every day of our lives. But you cannot do that which is pleasing to God without being that which is pleasing to God. You see, you can't live an ungodly life and then all of a sudden do a good deed and think you've made up for it. That doesn't work with God. That might work with man, but it will not work with God. You have to be what is well-pleasing to God. Every time we walk into this building, it ought to be with a desire, I want to please God today in my worship. And the only way we can do that is we need to come prepared. We need to come being that which is pleasing to the Lord. And we realize nothing we do can be accepted by God unless it's through Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is not going to present that which is just downright ungodly. It's not going to happen. So we have the privilege of pleasing God. We need to ask ourselves, will this please God? What I'm about to do, will it please God? What I'm about to say, will it please God? Where I'm about to go, will it please the Lord? We need to ask ourselves, does my spirit, does my attitude, do my thoughts please the Lord? We ought to live for it. God can be pleased. I can please Him through Jesus Christ. Therefore, that ought to be my goal in everything, to please the Lord. And at the end of every day, we ought to thank God that we've had the privilege, that we've had the opportunity to please Him. And we ought to ask God to forgive us in every single way that we have brought displeasure to the Lord. You know, Ephesians 5 talks about grieving the Spirit of God. That means exactly what it says. To grieve somebody is to cause sadness. It means what it says. We can grieve the Spirit of God. I do not want to, some may not believe it, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't set out to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to do that. I hate it when I do that. But that doesn't bother me near as much as the thought of grieving the Spirit of God. That we could grieve the Spirit of God. We need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our lives. And we need to strive that in everything that we would please the Lord. You should not want to take a job that you cannot please God with. You should not want to go to school. You should not want to pick a career. I mean, on and on and on and on the list goes. That you cannot please the Lord. And so that's the first question we need to always ask. Can I do this and still do what God tells me I ought to do? Makes the decision pretty simple. If it's your desire to please the Lord. And I hope and pray that that is our desire as Home Baptist Church. That we would just please God. That should be our goal. That should be our desire as a church body. We just want to please the Lord. Is God pleased with everything in Home Baptist Church? Of course not. Is God pleased with every single church member here? Of course not. But we need to strive to please the Lord. And it ought to grieve our hearts just the thought of displeasing the one who saved our soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of